Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Coach Kirby Smart's Monday Media Conference.
Yeah, I want to take a minute to acknowledge the Vince Dooley Celebration of Life they're having Friday night at the Coliseum. You know, it's open to the public, and encourage fans and supporters to attend to celebrate a man that meant so much to our community. I know I'll be over there for a brief stopover, but he meant so much to us. This is an opportunity to celebrate his life and do it over at the Coliseum, I guess, correct? Yeah, and that'll be 7:30 on Friday night. So with that, we're on to Georgia Tech, a program I know a lot about, and a coach that I have a lot of respect for. Known Brent for a long time. He played at Tech while I played at Georgia. We played against each other, and we've spent some summers together, and have a lot of respect for him as a coach. You know, he was at the O-line coach at Alabama one of the years we played them, and they did a really good job. His offensive lines are always physical. Get after it. There's a lot of familiarity with their staff, with ours, with Chip Long, Cheney, and all the guys that have been over there. So they're playing really well now. They're playing really hard now, and I think he's done a tremendous job getting these guys to compete.
Kirby mentioned Georgia Tech coming off a win against North Carolina. What stood out to you from their performance in that game, particularly on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, you know, they started a little slow, and then once they got in a groove, they were really aggressive, extremely physical. You know, I think held UNC to their lowest output in terms of yardage and maybe points in the season. They played really hard, and they did a great job defensively. They always have. You know, Tech has good personnel, and the guys there know football. And you can see that the kids are playing with a lot more passion and energy. They're one game from bowl eligibility, and you saw it come out in the play against UNC.
To follow up on what you said about Brent Key, when there's an in-season change, can a team begin to adapt the personality of an interim coach during a season? And when you're reviewing film of Georgia Tech, do you see any changes in the team? You know, under his watch.
Yeah, they take on his personality of toughness, not beating themselves, being physical. You can tell they've probably honed down some things. He made some changes to special teams. You know, he played there. And when you've got someone that played at that university and that's their alma mater, there's a certain level of desire to represent the university the right way. And, you know, when they won the first game, they beat two top 25 teams with him as the head coach. And you could see the emotion that he had after the Pitt win in the locker room because of how much it means to him.
Kirby, you were talking about buying a second ago at Tech. Can you talk about Jalen Carter and the snap count? I mean, I think he went from 48 to 40 to 46. I don't know what the typical defensive tackle snap count is, but to have a guy with, I guess, generational wealth on the line that bought in at this stage of the season, can you just talk about what that means to the defense and Jalen's commitment there?
I don't know. The assumption you make is that generational wealth is on the line. I mean, I look at it as he's earning generational wealth. It's not given, right? He hasn't had an opportunity to play all year and show his skill set and really show his stamina. In all his years playing here, he never got to play that many snaps. So he's creating value for himself with the way he's playing. And, you know, if you look at the top end of the draft, it's one of those things where it's a huge difference between pick 3 and pick 10 and pick 14. It's a lot more different than it is down there towards the end. So it's not about that for him. It's about, you know, being with his teammates, wanting to do something special. He was really close and in a brotherhood with those guys last year, and they're gone now, and he's trying to do something that they didn't do, you know, and he's giving us all he's got.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about your seniors? Obviously, they have a chance to set a mark in this game, and it's so much more unusual these days. Now you have some six-year guys and fifth-year guys, so it's changed a little bit in recent years. Can you talk about that class?
Yeah, it's really not a class. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, like you mentioned. I mean, you got 7-8 guys that will be, I think we got 7 or 8 that will be repeat walkers, meaning they walked last year and they're walking this year. And then we'll probably have the same because the timetable for decisions and things like that, it's off in college football. So when you look at it, you got a kid that's going to go out there and walk for his last home game, but he hasn't decided if that's his last home game. But that is what we deal with. And these guys, just like the group last year, have been really special. I mean, we could have anywhere from 20 to 25 guys walking out there. And to look and see what they've done to be the winningest class and go through a COVID year where every game was an SEC game, I find that respectful and amazing because you don't get the games outside the conference in that season, and they were still able to do it. And a lot of credit goes to the character of that group. There's not a huge star-studded cast. There won't be 15 draft picks out there, but there's some guys that really care about UGA and have sacrificed a lot to this program.
Kirby, I wanted to ask you about one of those seniors with Stetson. When did you do you remember your first conversation with him, and when did you first know about the competitive nature he has?
Well, I knew his high school coach. I knew who he played for. I knew the area he was from. I roomed with a guy that was from down there in college here. It was a walk-on, and he always talked about Stetson. We kept in touch. Stetson was getting recruited by other people. Chris Hatcher and several guys recruited him. We got him up on an official visit. I think the first time I really got to talk to him and visit with him was around the OV, and he's got a lot of siblings, a great family. And I remember the siblings being around during our camp days and working out and his OV in the stadium. You could tell there was something different about him in terms of a chip on his shoulder, and that's helped drive him to where he is now.
Hey, Kirby, wanted to ask you, what was AD able to do last week with you guys as far as practice goes? And also, is there any scenario playing deep into this thing where you guys might have a chance at all to get Nolan back, or is that kind of like a done deal?
No, Nolan's surgery was a repair, and he'll be out, hopefully make it back to his workouts and combine stuff. AD was similar last week as he's been to the previous weeks. I mean, he did run. He had a few higher speeds, and he did some individual drills, but he didn't do team work, like 11-on-11 team work, and that's the goal. It's the goal each week to get him out there to do 11-on-11 and take some reps.
Yeah, two questions, one injury related. You mentioned Tate had a subluxation. What body part was that for? And then two, with this Georgia Tech game, obviously you didn't play him at home here in 2020. I think this is Stetson's first home game against Georgia Tech in his career. Has the sort of nature of this rivalry shifted at all since you've been here at Georgia?
No, it's still a big rivalry. I mean, I think maybe it shifted in the dynamic of what their offense was because it went from one extreme to the other in terms of that. But Tate had a shoulder subluxation, and, again, he probably could have gone in the game. It's one of those things he checked out before the game last week and weren't comfortable putting him in and wanted to give Devin a chance to play. So, and this is Stetson's first opportunity to play Georgia Tech here, unless one of those years he was here as a freshman that we played here against him. I'm not sure.
Hey, Kirby, so can you talk a bit about what Pop means to this team in terms of communication on the field and also what he brings to the defense each week, I guess?
Yeah, he's the go-between from the back end to the front end. So he and Smile are like messengers. You know, they have to deliver the message front ways and deliver the message back ways and make sure we're on the same page, which is critical in today's day and age of offense where people are constantly moving, nobody's sitting still, things change, got to have great eye control. He's also the signal caller, the one that gets the signal and tells people what to do, and he holds people accountable, including himself. He hasn't had some of his best games and best weeks of practice here recently, but yet he still holds himself to a high standard, and he acknowledges that he can do better. And when you have a guy at that position that thinks that way, it's good hardwiring for your defense.
Kirby, with Georgia Tech, they used two quarterbacks in that win against North Carolina. Just what kind of challenge does that present, knowing that you might see two guys with two different skill sets on Saturday?
Yeah, they definitely got different skill sets, and they're both good players. I mean, I caught some of a Thursday night game earlier this year and got to see the Gibson quarterback, and then you know, watching Tyson go against the UNC team, it was a different flavor. You know, they really complement each other. Big physical guy. Both of them can actually run. And the improvement that Gibson's made over the recent games, to me, is astounding. He's throwing the ball much better, much more efficiently.
One last question on Stetson, Coach. Never mind what he's been able to do on the field here these last couple of years, but just the fact that he has earned a starting position as a former walk-on in Division One. I mean, what are the odds of that, I would guess, if you look around the country? And can you speak to the accomplishment of just being able to make that happen, to get on the field?
Yeah, it takes a competitor. I mean, it takes somebody to overcome the odds because you're not given the benefit of the doubt. You know, you have to earn it. You have to beat guys out. And, you know, we as coaches did everything we could to not give him the opportunity, and he just kept banging away at the door, and he was very persistent. Thank goodness we decided to bring him back when we were, you know, sitting in a tough quarterback situation, and probably the best decision we made when you look back of bringing him back here in what was looking like it was going to be a backup role, but not to him. I mean, he saw it as an opportunity to come in and play, and he took advantage of it.
Kirby, on red zone touchdown percentage, obviously the other day it wasn't good. There's been some stretches this year where it has been good. What's your level of concern on that?
You know, we worked really hard on it. It was one of our big things coming in. We actually had moved. We started out really slow in that area offensively, and we moved into the 20s, and we were creeping up, and it was getting really good. And then we took a step back, you know, last week. And the level of concern is about execution. It's not like you can say it's one thing or, oh, you have a problem here. No, you didn't do this right. And every play we can point to and say, we had a failure here. And when you have a failure here, you don't execute. You play good defenses. They capitalize on you. And, you know, our defensive red zone TD percentage has been really, really special. We've stopped a lot of people. And we go against each other all offseason. They get to see our guys go. We do it every week. On every Wednesday, we go out and do it. So it's been a point of emphasis for us. But it's one of those things we got to keep working on and get better at.
Coach, since Nolan has been out, how has his position performed in his absence?
Okay, up and down. I mean, we've had some good performances, some poor performances, some good plays, some bad plays, some guys playing more snaps than they've ever played, so fatigue sets in, and you got to have more stamina because as you play more snaps, you find guys make more mistakes. And the mentality of cardio and exercise can – fatigue makes cowards of us all. So when you make mistakes because you're fatigued, you got to get in better shape, and the snaps have gone up really on that whole group.
Kirby, you mentioned Georgia Tech is on the edge of being bowl eligible. Is that something that's going to be talked about with the team, just understanding that Tech comes into this game with a lot to play for?
Yeah, we'll mention it, but, I mean, it's not about them. It's about what we do.
Back on the red zone scoring, what kind of luxury is it, and what kind of comfort does it bring you to have a consistent kicker like Hot Pot?
Yeah, it's awesome, but I'd rather have 7 than 3. So, I mean, the flip side of that is you have to go for 7 if you don't have that. And it is a luxury to have him, and he's been Mr. Consistency since he's been here. And he's mentally wired the right way and does a tremendous job for our program. But, you know, the more we use him, the more we realize that those are points left on the board.
Kirby, you mentioned on Saturday that there were a few times where you needed to get 1 yard and you should be able to get 1 yard, 3rd, 1, 4th, and 1. How do you fix it?
You rep it. I mean, you be creative. You know, you have to sit and think, are we in the best personnel grouping to do it? Are we giving it to the right side? Are we attacking the weakness of their defense? There's all kinds of things that go into it in pre-planning of where are their best players, where are our best players? Are we in our best personnel grouping? Do you have to get big to get 1 yard, or can you stay little and spread them out? There's a lot that goes into it. But philosophically, we've been using what we think is the best grouping, and you look at that each and every week, how it matches up against the opponent.
Kirby, in addition to all the football championship on the field that you're focused on, there's this transfer window coming up. There's early signing day that's closing in. I want to ask you about NIL and roster management. Stetson's NIL deals, I think he's over $1 million now. How important is that in recruiting that the Georgia quarterback can make that kind of money? And also, how important is that NIL pool when it comes to maybe keeping some of these players that might have options elsewhere after December 3rd?
Yeah, we'll know a lot more, in the next coming weeks about all of it, because nobody's really been through this window. It's very similar to last year, but the portal window opening and closing and not letting coaches go out on the road during the SEC championship week so they can get their rosters right, it's all kind of new and different. So for us, we're going to be preparing, we have a game. So we don't get to go and have those conversations and do those things. So each and every player has to have ability to put the team first while at the same time realizing that, hey, their individualism now in college football is bigger than ever in terms of decisions you make. I'm just always real open and honest about it, that not many guys that don't start here end up, if you're not good enough to play here, you're probably not going to play in the NFL. So what do you want to be part of? Do you want to be part of something winning, something special? And that's what we sell. And it's not for everybody, but it's what we sell.
Curry, with Devin stepping in for Tate in that Kentucky game, just what did you make of his performance starting in that role?
He did a good job. He took a lot of reps during the week over there on the right side. And he shows a lot of toughness, a lot of size, things he can do better, things he could have done better in the game that he'll continue to work on.
Kirby, I can't recall if you brought it up today, but I think you've said before that Georgia Tech was – you lost them your last home game as a player here. You talked to some of the guys. I'm sure you're friends with some of the guys you still played with, and when you kind of take that coach hat off, what does this rivalry kind of mean to you and kind of stick – with you over the years that you've, I guess the first Georgia Tech game as a coach, you guys lost that one as well. Is it clean old fashioned hate to you in some ways?
Yeah, certainly it is. It's what this program's biggest rivalry was many, many years ago when they were in the SEC. Our kids don't know that history. They don't know the history of this rivalry and what goes into it. It was a really big rivalry, during Paul's years here because of the triple option and playing something different and the physicality of the game, And I think educating our players on that so they understand it, because it means a lot to our players in terms of what they want to achieve, and they got to win this game to achieve those things. So making sure they understand that is really important, and teaching the history of that is important because it'll mean something to the Georgia Tech players and the Georgia players 20, 30 years from now.
Kirby, I know the running game is a matter of 11 guys doing it well. It's not just the running back, but I'm curious with guys like McIntosh, Kendall, are they running the ball better in terms of vision burst when you guys look at film?
It's all relative to who you're playing. I don't think you can judge a running back based on game by game because the front's different, the opponent's different, the run schemes are different, the ability to throw the ball is different. It varies from game to game. I'm very pleased with what our backs have done.
Let's take two more questions.
Kirby, what's the schedule for your players this week with Thanksgiving? I know you have a pretty set one, but I can't recall what it is. What will they do this week?
Normal Monday, Tuesday. We have school Monday, Tuesday, so normal practice Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday we'll practice pretty normal. We'll move it up a little bit in anticipation of Thursday being earlier, and Thursday will be a little earlier practice. And then we're back getting ready for the game Friday.
Talking about this rivalry, when you look at the 2017 team and specifically the guys that came back, how much do you think that loss they had the previous year at home was sort of a motivator for some of the guys who decided to come back?
I don't know if it was that game or the whole season. I don't really know. You'd have to ask those guys. I think that may have played a part. I remember, Nick brought that up, and it bothered him that his last game going off was that way, and he's the one that sticks out. It really bothered him the most, but I don't really recall those.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Historic game rewinds and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dogs!